From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, Past Lives, back from our live stage show in Southern Florida over the weekend. Went great. So fun to meet our Coast to Coast listeners up front and personal. We stayed until everybody went through the meet and greet afterwards. Just a great time. Planning about four or five live events around the country next year. As soon as we find out exactly where we're going to be, I'll let you know. Here's what's happening. A California teenager has been identified by police as the gunman who killed three people, including two children, at a garlic food festival south of San Francisco over the weekend. Santino William Leggin, 19 years old, cut through a fence at the festival on Sunday evening, shot people with an AK-47-style assault rifle at the garlic festival. The Gilroy Police Chief Scott Smithy told reporters, within minutes of opening fire, Leggin was fatally shot by three on-site police officers armed with handguns. Police still trying to determine the motive. They're also investigating unconfirmed reports by eyewitnesses that he may have had an accomplice. He killed a six-year-old boy, a 13-year-old girl, and a man in his 20s. Police believe he purchased the rifle legally on July 9th in Nevada. Sad story there. U.S. central bankers are expected to lower borrowing costs this week for the first time since the depths of the financial crisis more than a decade ago. We shall see what the Fed does. In one of the biggest ever data breaches, a hacker has gained access to more than 100 million Capital One customers' accounts and credit card applications, and it happened earlier this year. The uncompromised data includes 140,000 Social Security numbers, 1 million Canadian social insurance numbers, 80,000 bank accounts, in addition to an undisclosed number of people's names, addresses, credit scores, credit limits, balances, and maybe even some bank information. A 33-year-old woman, Paige Thompson, has been arrested in connection with the breach. The department alleges that the Thompson posting on the information sharing site GitHub about her theft, that's not smart, of information from the servers storing Capital One data. The breach affected around 100 million people in the United States and about 6 million people in Canada. Capital One does not believe bank accounts were compromised. We shall see. They'll be in touch with you. And the dramatic advances in satellite imaging technology in the last 10 years have privacy advocates worried about 24-hour surveillance. And right now, U.S. federal regulators keep things in check so that while commercial satellite imagery is powerful enough, for instance, to see a car, it's not yet detailed enough to identify the make and model of that car. But things are changing. First, Lauren Weinstein with us, our expert on such matters. Let's get his reaction to this breach. Lauren, gosh, that's a lot of people, 100 million Capital One card applications.
Yeah, with another one of these deja vu all over again stories. I mean, what's interesting about this one, and notable really here, is that it's a female hacker, apparently.
From within.
And that's very, there just aren't a lot of criminal female hackers. It also, as you noted, she apparently left a considerable trail of messages back and forth to people, not really covering her tracks very, very well. The good news in all of this is that apparently the data itself probably was not disseminated. It looks like, from the reports I've seen so far, she just collected it together, encrypted it, put it on GitHub, and nobody really had access to it from what I've seen so far. That could change. The way she apparently did this, from what I'm learning, is that apparently Capital One had a misconfigured firewall, and that breach allowed her to get into the AWS, that's Amazon's cloud services, where they were storing that data in AWS buckets. So it was really apparently Capital One's fault. The lesson here for people that work in this area is that firewalls really are not good protection, because when you screw them up, you can get into real trouble. Google has something they've written up publicly called Beyond Corp that talks about these kinds of vulnerabilities. It's worth reading if you're interested in this sort of thing.
And let's get your reaction to the satellites starting to watch our every move.
This is a fascinating area, of course, because the technology goes back all the way to the late 50s, early 60s, when they used to use film canisters they'd actually use cameras, and they would jettison the film canisters and they'd use planes to catch them with, from parachutes and or in regular flight. So they would actually jettison them from orbit and then catch them. You may recall the movie Ice Station Zebra, right?
Yep.
It was based on exactly that, a satellite and a film canister, and the Russians and the Americans were fighting over it. The Chinese were using this technology all the way up through 2005 because it actually does work. Now, the thing about what we have now is you have to keep in mind the difference between military satellites and commercial satellites. We can always assume that the military satellites have far better or at least considerably better resolution and capabilities than what's available commercially. The commercial satellites are really good, too, now, and they're getting better all the time. But as you noted, there are regulations in the U.S. that limit the resolution that's made available to the public. So I think it's about 1 meter right now. So yeah, you can see a car, but you can't see the make. You can't pick out individuals and things like that. That's going to get better and better and better.
It sure is.
There's no stopping that kind of technology. However, there is one thing to keep in mind when we think about the satellites watching us. If somebody really wants, if authorities, for example, really want to conduct serious detailed surveillance, aerial surveillance, it's much easier to use aircraft. Helicopters, high-altitude aircraft, there's all kinds of ways to do it. It's the kind of situation where you can stay over the area of interest indefinitely. You're much closer. You're not in orbit, so you're much closer to the ground. You can get much higher resolution. You're talking about the kind of situations where you read the name off a cigarette pack, that kind of thing. So while it's important to think about these satellites and what their capabilities are going forward and the incredible resolutions that they have and are gaining, let's not forget the simpler technologies that have been around even longer that have far more detailed resolutions, much higher resolutions, and potentially are even greater privacy risks.
The eye in the sky, Lauren, thank you so much. Well, a petition has been launched by the not-for-profit Halloween and Costume Association arguing that moving the date of Halloween will lead to a safer, longer, stress-free celebration. What they would like is Halloween to move from October 31st whatever day that stays on, to the last Saturday of the month. Later on in the program during the week, we're going to have a quick reaction from some people who are trying to get this done, and we'll get your reaction as well. It's kind of an interesting thing to have Halloween always the last Saturday of October. Think about that. Sky Watchers are set for a treat this week with the Delta Aquarid meteor shower, which reaches its peak. But what else is going on in the skies? Let's check in with Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates. Hi, Stephen.
Hello there, George. Hey, we begin with some raging fires in and around the Arctic Circle. And that can be seen from space. Incredible images, George, from weather satellites. But what does this have to do and what does it mean for us down here on the Earth? This is causing some amazing sunsets, not only, George, in far the northern latitudes, but even as far south as, say, Los Angeles, Denver, and cities to the east. So if everybody can look at the sky, of course, around sunset time, if you're noticing an incredible red sunset, know that it's probably dust particles and smoke from fires that are raging up there in the Arctic. An amazing story. But, George, I got to talk about asteroids, as we know there's so many of them, some 1,983 so-called potentially hazardous asteroids. But last Thursday's surprise close approach of asteroid 2019 OK, a 300-foot in diameter object, at least that's what they think, came within some 43,000 miles of the Earth. But here's the problem. We talk about it often, George, and you would agree. Many are discovered after the closest approach. So we really have to keep our eyes to the skies, of course. But how about this one? The closest non-impacting asteroid of 2019 so far is a little asteroid about 2 meters in diameter, 2019 AS5. It passed the Earth, George, back on January the 8th, only 5,300 miles above the Earth. That's like the distance, say, between New York and Hawaii, and again, discovered 9 hours after its closest approach. We close always with the live sky, and obviously with the month of July just ending, and as you mentioned, George, the Delta Aquarid meteor shower taking place, new moon on the 31st, I wanted to share this tip, George, to the listeners. If you can look at the sky in a cloudless sky over this coming weekend, look around 10 p.m. I've been spending a lot of time in Sedona showing so many people the wonders of the sky. Saturday, George, it was absolutely spectacular. The Milky Way, as I've never seen it so beautiful, in the deep heart central part of the galaxy in Sagittarius. If you have binoculars and clear skies, that's the place to look. And also, as we close, look for early Perseid meteor showers coming out of the northeast sky. Unfortunately, a full moon around mid-August may wash it out. Always remember to keep your eyes to the skies and email me. We have, you have questions, we have answers at drskyshow@gmail.com.
Thank you, Dr. Sky. Makes you want to run out and get a telescope. I love your reports. We'll talk to you next Monday. Superbugs, resistant to emergency antibiotics, are spreading in hospitals all over the planet, according to a European-wide study. The drugs that are used when an infection cannot be treated with anything else, the spread of the resistant drugs, according to the researchers say, could be very, very dangerous. Well, up next, Doc Wallach joins us as we talk about things to help you live a little longer. His website, criticalhealthnews.com. Take a look at it. It's open right now for you, criticalhealthnews.com. There's some videos there you might want to see. And the toll-free number to call people for assistance, not for the show. We'll give you those numbers later. 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. Up next, Doc Wallach from criticalhealthnews.com. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. A couple hours with Doc Wallach for criticalhealthnews.com. He, of course, is one of the major contributors of multi-authored texts and reference books on the subject of health and nutrition and pharmaceutical research as well. He appears with the pharmacist Ben Fuchs quite often on the program to make you live a little bit longer. And, Doc, I was just back from southern Florida, and a couple people came up to me during the meet and greet, and they wanted me to say hi to you from them. So Betty and Tom say hello.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the message.
Hey, Doc, there was just a study that just came out a couple days ago that said that taking low-dose aspirin for heart attack victims is okay, but they don't recommend it for people who have not had a heart issue. What do you think of that?
Well, you have to appreciate that aspirin does cause a reduction in blood clotting capacity. Okay, so it's a blood thinner. And just to take it on a routine basis without having any clinical reason for it adds a potential injury to you.
Hey, Doc, we've got some problems with your phone line. I'm going to have Tom call you right back, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's get it done and fix that up if we're going to take care of that, Tom. Doc Wallach, criticalhealthnews.com, is with us, of course, for the next hour and a half and dealing with your health-related issues, and we'll try to get that line cleaned up a little bit. As you heard, it was a little buzzy, and we want a clean phone line from the doc as soon as we can to do that. And then we will start taking your phone calls with the doc at the half here. So get ready to start making your calls. And, again, if you need some assistance, there's a phone number to call where they have a whole bank of people knowledgeable in what you can do to help you. And that's 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. And the website, which you should spend some time going to, it'll take you some time to really digest it and go through some of the great parts of it. It's criticalhealthnews.com. And all you got to do is sign in when you get there, and it's free. And then you can look at the videos and the various things that the doc offers to so many people, along with pharmacist Ben Fuchs. And you can email them directly, too, and they'll work on getting you some answers to your situation, which will work. And Tom is back in the L.A. studio, still working on that. And the next hour, by the way, a very special guest joins us, Barry Eaton, as we talk about his work, Past Lives Unveiled. And let's go to the doc now. And, Doc, let's see if we got your back a little better. You there?
Okay, yes. It sounds better to me.
Much better. Much better. In the meantime, I did the rest of the show without you, so thanks, Doc.
Okay.
But we were just getting into that low-dose aspirin story. What do you think about people who have not had heart issues? Should they still take it?
Well, I say no. Just to take aspirin if you don't have a reason for it. If you don't have any aches and pains, you don't have any headaches, you don't have any blood clotting issues, I would definitely not just take it to be taking it. There is potential risk there for bleeding.
Well, one of our experts, Christian Weil, I think you know Christian. He has written a number of books on heart and heart-related issues. He's a little baffled at how it can help a heart attack victim but not someone who has not had a heart issue. And, you know, I kind of share his perplexing. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, The reason why doctors historically have recommended an aspirin a day when you have a history of heart attack is because you have a blood clot, okay? And an aspirin will reduce your risk of abnormal blood clotting. But if you don't have that issue, you want normal blood clotting to take place. And so you're kind of caught in that system that you just don't take it just to be taking it.
And Doc, I get so many emails with people who know that you're on the program asking for advice, and they try to get through on the program, and they can't, obviously, because the lines get flooded. But Denise writes, I don't know where she lives, but she says she suffers from gout. What is gout, and how do you fix that? How do you cure that?
Okay, well, gout is a kind of inflammatory arthritis that's precipitated by presence of uric acid. And uric acid is found in shellfish. It's found in organ meats like liver and kidney and heart and brain, that kind of stuff. Most people don't mind giving up liver and heart and brain in their diets. But shellfish, people like oysters and clams and shrimp and lobster and crab and that kind of stuff. They do contain uric acid. And then also beans contain uric acid legumes. And so you avoid those foods, you drop your uric acid level, and, you know, we have a program we call the Healthy Bone and Joint Pack, and we have a shellfish-free version, and we have a version with shellfish in it. And so people who have a history of gouty arthritis need to get the our version of the shellfish-free Healthy Bone and Joint Pack is what it's called, and it's designed to give the body what it needs to get the nutrients necessary to maintain and repair tissues. Our body has the capacity, George, to repair and maintain cartilage, ligaments, tendons, connective tissue, discs between the vertebrae, bone matrix, which is kind of like the rebar of the bone. And when people don't get all the right stuff and they're eating all the wrong stuff, gouty arthritis can be very painful. And again, we have what we call the Healthy Bone and Joint Pack. And we have some MSM, we have vitamin D3. And I like to use either the CM cream with some tramadol or our new CBD oil, okay, which has you put it on topically, and the pain goes away for a couple of hours. But after, a week or so on the diet, getting rid of all the bad foods and taking the supplement program, your body's able to rebuild the joints, and you can be free of gouty arthritis.
Does it affect the nervous system at all, gout?
Well, it can, and here's why. I actually have a new book coming out next month.
Oh, perfect.
It goes into the 25 different diseases when you have osteoporosis and arthritis of the skull. Now, there's 12 pairs of cranial nerves. So 12 come out on the right side and 12 come out on the left side. They go from the brain through the skull through little tunnels, and they go down through the face and the neck and the trunk of the body to do things. Also, the spinal cord. One of the largest nerves of the body comes out from the base of the brain out through the hole in the back of the skull called the foramen magnum. And these tunnels for the 12 cranial nerves and the foramen magnum for the spinal cord begin to close up with this connective tissue when you have inflammation, gouty arthritis, and osteoporosis. And you get paralysis from the skull all the way from the neck down. And people say, oh, you have Guillain-Barré syndrome. You have some kind of unknown spinal stuff, and it's really just osteoporosis and gouty arthritis of the skull. Bell's palsy, trigeminal neuralgia, ONA, optic nerve atrophy, when you gradually lose your vision, and you don't have cataracts or glaucoma or macular degeneration, but that optic nerve, cranial nerve number 2 is being squeezed. One of my favorites is, cranial nerve number 10, okay, the vagus nerve. When it gets squeezed, you get hiccups, and it's wild. You get these outrageous hiccups for 3 or 4 hours, and you get COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. It's unproductive. You take antibiotics and nothing good happens. That's because the vagus nerve, the 10th cranial nerve, is being squeezed by these tunnels being closed up by the inflammation caused by this gouty arthritis or osteoporosis of the skull. And then you can have, again, Bell's palsy, trigeminal neuralgia. You can lose your voice. You can feel like you have a golf ball in your throat all the time because you have the 9th cranial nerve, glossopharyngeal nerve being squeezed. Another one of my favorites is the 8th cranial nerve. It has 2 major branches. When one gets squeezed, you get gradual deafness. It's the auditory branch. You also get tinnitus, you know, this ringing in the ear that people complain about.
Right. One of our hosts has that problem.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, that kind of thing. And then there's also the vestibular branch of the atrial nerve. When it gets squeezed, you get Wallach's vertigo or Meniere's disease, where they just feel like they're seasick all the time.
All right, well, hold on with us, Doc. We're going to come right back from this break. Doc Wallach with us from criticalhealthnews.com. Again, his toll-free number to call for assistance is 1-855-949-7234. We will get into your calls when we come back. Well, we're going to come back in a moment with Doc Wallach from criticalhealthnews.com and take your phone calls and hope we can help you. Tom will take your text and tweets as well, so we shall be doing that too. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Doc Wallach with us, criticalhealthnews.com. And again, the toll-free number to call for assistance, not to get on the show, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. Your text, your tweets, we will also take, of course, and Tom will have those, and he'll pass them on to Doc Wallach for you. They do take email questions as well. And I got to tell you, Doc, there's just people come up to me at these live events that you have seen me at, and they say, every year you seem like you're getting younger and younger. What are you doing? And I say, talk to Doc Wallach. He knows.
Yeah, well, things that people don't realize, George, is that every cell in our body dies. You know, the type of cell dies by the thousands every second. The long-lived cells in our body are red blood cells. They live 120 days, 4 months. All the rest of the cells in our body live 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. And again, they're dying by the thousands or millions every second. And you need raw materials for your stem cells and all tissues, whether it's your liver, your brain, your heart, your kidneys, your lungs, your skin, your bones, your disc between your vertebrae. All of those things require these raw materials for your stem cells to replace the ones that are dying just from natural causes. And so if you don't have these, you begin to get symptoms, you get pain, you get restricted range of motion, your liver doesn't work so good, and you have breathing problems, or you don't think very quick anymore, and so on. And then you begin to take these nutrients, and suddenly now your body's able to repair the injured cells, and the ones who are dying are able to replace them. And the experience I have with a big NIH project back in, it was a 10-year project back in 1967, I did 20,000 autopsies, 17,000 some change of over 454 species of zoo animals and 3,000 humans. When I found out there were no genetically transmitted diseases, there are no genetically transmitted birth defects. It's called epigenetics. We started a whole new science to replace genetics, which is a false theory. And all these diseases were being blamed on bad genes in your family. Well, you got five generations of arthritis, must be genetic. No, you just lived in the same place, ate the same bad way. You didn't have the nutrients to repair your body and replace the cells. And so everybody for five generations had the same problems. And the only way you can master this is to give your body everything it needs and let your body take what it wants. Now, an equivalent would be your mechanic says, oh, don't worry about putting oil in your car. Just put dirt from Texas or Oklahoma, and then there's bound to be some oil.
Or sugar.
Or sugar. An insane person would not do that. Okay, even an insane person would do that. But when a doctor says, oh, just eat well, you can get everything you need, don't take any vitamins and minerals, everybody says, oh, thank God my doctor says I don't need vitamins and minerals. Well, the average lifespan, according to the Medical Association in America, the average lifespan of medical doctors is 56. Why would you believe anybody whose average lifespan is 56 on how to live a long, healthy life?
That's a good point. That is a good point. Doc and I celebrated our birthdays at Contact in the Desert in June. That was always a fun event for us, Doc, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just honored to have the same birthday you did. It's about 10 years earlier, but the same day, June 4th. And it's just quite a great coincidence.
Let's take some calls here as they line up and see how many people we can help. Let's start with Jeremy in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Jeremy. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, I was calling... my daughter has dealt with some depression issues, and the counselor wants to put her on an antidepressive, and my wife and I are not fond of chemical medications in any way. I was calling to find out if there was any kind of supplement that we could go that route instead of a antidepressive.
Okay, well, there's two things you have to appreciate. Number one is absorption of nutrients. The other one are nutrients that help prevent these kind of behaviors and issues. The brain requires all 90 essential nutrients. And when you're missing this one particular one, and there was a big, big study on 27 counties in the state of Texas. And half those 27 counties had very high levels of schizophrenia, manic depression, bipolar disease, autism, PTSD, paranoia, all those kinds of suicidal behaviors, domestic violence, and even things like people who do felonious things, armed robbery and things like that. The other half of the counties that had lots of that nutrient, okay, they didn't have it. Those people didn't have any of those issues at all. And it's published, and it's a great, great study. Dr. Gerhard Schrauser did the study. He was one of my mentors. I just really appreciate him. And the only way you can determine this, and this is something you can do for your daughter, is get a hair analysis. A book, Rare Earth Ventures, in Chapter 11, tells you how to collect the hair, how to package it, where to ship it. 2-3 weeks later, you get the results. And then you read Chapter 11 again, it tells you how to interpret it. There's two major things you can get from sending that hair analysis in. Number one, you can tell if your daughter is absorbing nutrients, because if they're all below a certain line, you're not absorbing.
Mm-hmm.
Each bar for each different nutrient should be in sort of different levels, but in this sort of medium area, which says you're absorbing. If they're all below that line, that means you're not absorbing and you're in real trouble. You have to give up gluten, wheat, barley, rye, oats, and these, everybody in the household, so there's no cross-contamination in the laundry and the food preparation services and so on. Encourage maximum absorption of nutrients. Secondly, there's a couple of particular nutrients. When they're missing, again, there's suicidal behavior. There's these mass murders, just like this 19-year-old kid that just shot up that garlic.
Well, and I would guess, Doc, with selenium and lithium, maybe?
Lithium, yes. Lithium, that's the one.
Yep, orotate, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so, of course, this is, we're a mineral company, and so we love it to be able to help. And when people take the 90 essential nutrients with extra, okay, or the lithium, guess what? All these behaviors go away very quickly, within weeks.
And Doc, let me preface this by saying we've got a resident psychiatrist, Dr. Peter Breggin, who has written a book called Medication Madness. He hates these antidepressant drugs, though he does admit, for a few people, they will work. But he doesn't like them and doesn't want to prescribe them to people. And I assume you're in the same camp.
Yes, and very much so. And the reason is these antipsychotic drugs relieve symptoms, but they don't actually replace the nutrient that's missing. So the disease underneath that veil of reduced symptoms continues to get worse. And this is what we see in these shooters, like this 19-year-old kid in this Gilroy, California.
Yeah, horrible story. Horrible.
Yeah, horrible story. But see, he just got out of high school. He's just that age. And it's one of those things where they feel paranoid. And you go back to the Columbine shooters. One of my favorite ones, mass murder, is from 1891 to 1894. There is a medical doctor by the name of Mudgett, okay? And this Dr. Mudgett, okay, and he killed and ate 200 of his patients.
Jeez.
He ate
his patients?
Yeah, 200 of them over a four-year period, 1891 to 1894.
Oh, he's a cannibal and a serial killer.
Yeah, and so he killed and ate 200 of his patients, and his favorite weapon, of course, was an overdose of chloroform. And he ate them, so there was little evidence except for the records. Where'd all these people go? Well, there's a finger found over here and a head found over there. 200, this guy, in 4 years' time, killed and ate his patients. And he was a medical doctor. He went to school in medical school there in Michigan, Detroit, Michigan.
My home state, my hometown.
Yeah, and so it's really one of those terrible, terrible things. And actually, they started the series of Sherlock Holmes based on this guy's story.
Jeez. Well, let's go to Tom with a text or tweet. Go ahead, Tom.
This one from Carrie in Portland.
Please ask Doc to talk about diabetics, what it is exactly, and foods diabetics can eat.
Okay, well, type 2 diabetes, which makes up 98% of the diabetic population, is a simple nutritional deficiency. Most doctors will tell you it's a genetic thing and runs in the family. Well, it may run in the family, but it's because where you live, what you eat, what you don't do, and so forth. It's actually a deficiency. It could be either one of two or both of these nutrients missing. And I take people who have been really brittle type 2 diabetics for 30 years. They're going blind. They've had their toes cut off, you know, from the usual complications of type 2 diabetes. And in 30 days, your next diabetic, just by getting rid of all the bad foods, no gluten, no wheat, brown, around oats, so they can absorb. And then we throw in the 90 essential nutrients with a little bit of extra. We call it the healthy blood sugar pack. One healthy blood sugar pack per 100 pounds of body weight. And stay away from the gluten so you can maximize absorption.
And I like your Sweeties.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sweeties is part of that healthy blood sugar pack, okay? And, of course, you need the other 90 essential nutrients as cofactors to assure that the Sweeties contents are going to work perfectly. And the reason people always say, well, what is that nutrients in Sweeties? Well, you read the label, you'll see it. You read the book, Rare Earths Been Cures. You read the book, Let's Play Doctor. And it goes into the details of what nutrients are missing when you have type 2 diabetes and all the cofactors that are necessary. So he came up with this package. It has it all in there. So you don't have to run here and run there and find this and find that. It's kind of like one of these prepackaged things. You put it in the oven and it comes out as perfect. Same way, you take one healthy blood sugar pack per 100 pounds of vitamin. It contains Sweeties. And that way, if somebody has, and a lot of people have eight different diseases. They'll have arthritis and high blood pressure and diabetes and so on. And so they may want to take the healthy blood sugar pack and the healthy brain and heart pack. Well, that might be a little bit too much money. So you take just the active part of the healthy blood sugar pack, the Sweeties, as you point out, and add that to the healthy brain and heart pack, and you can cover like eight different diseases that way in a very economical way. But type 2 diabetes should be easily gotten rid of in weeks. Type 1 diabetes is a birth defect, not genetic, but it is caused by mother missing a piece of nutrients when the baby's forming the islets of Langerhans in the pancreas, which actually make insulin. And so instead of having 5,000 cells in the islets of Langerhans, beta cells are called, instead of having 5,000, you only have five, and you can't make enough insulin. You're a type 1 diabetic. It's not genetic, but your mom was missing something when those beta cells were forming. And so you have a permanent damage. You'll be on insulin forever.
Doc Wallach with us from criticalhealthnews.com. Let's go to Mark in West Park, Florida. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, only on Coast to Coast am I hearing about that doctor. I can't get over that, but I must have seen something on public television about that if it's famous, but that's scary stuff. But I called for two reasons, and I wanted to ask the doctor, I am recovering from retinal reattachment, not in one eye, but both eyes. I think it was from jumping out of planes as a Marine, not a soldier, but a Marine. And I mean, I know it's wear and tear, and I know it's because I'm myopic, I'm nearsightedness, but what do you suggest for someone who is recovering from eye surgery? And I have yet more operations. Final operations will be cataract surgery. So maybe people with cataracts will want to listen up to what you have to say. And then I want to talk to George and just ask him something real quick.
Okay, well,
briefly, there's several things that can go on with the eyes. Number one is very, very common. And age is not a factor, but it's osteoporosis of the skull. Like I say, I have a book coming up next month with this in there. And there's optic nerve atrophy, O-N-A, O-N-A, and the second cranial nerve, optic nerve. It slowly gets squeezed, and your vision is slowly going away, and doctors say, well, we got to do some cataract operations. Do a cataract operation. Really doesn't fix it because it's really not a cataract. They say, you know, you may have some glaucoma here, and they give you some pressure medication for your eye, and it doesn't change the pressure in the eye, and so you're really not gaining anything. Actually, the vision continues to get worse. Then they say, oh, you have a detached retina, and they reattach that with lasers and that kind of stuff. And it still doesn't fix the problem because you have osteoporosis of the skull squeezing that second cranial nerve called the optic nerve. And just slowly, gradually does that. And then, of course, if you do have some of those issues, we have the healthy brain and heart pack because the eye is part of the brain, healthy brain and heart pack, and one per 100 pounds of body weight. And then I also like to throw in the Ultimate Daily Classic tablets if you have glaucoma, because it will help blood flow through blocked arteries, whether it's in the heart, the brain, the eyes, kidneys, and actually help the eye maintain proper pressure. And then, of course, we'd like to throw in some extra antioxidants like our Z-radical, Z like zebra-radical, and our Ocutive. Has the, you know, the optic thing, the Ocutive for the eye.
You've got that. You've got lutein in there, right?
Exactly. Very good, George.
I'm studying this stuff, Doc.
You're doing good. I'm proud of you. And so all of these things will help repair the eye, and you got to stay away from the bad stuff, the fried foods, the processed meats, the oils, the glutens, because the eye is a very – and I've had wagers with eye doctors, and I've won a lot of things, including they made a CD, Seeing is Believing. They wagered with me and called me a liar in public because they said – people who are legally blind, 6 to 8 years of macular degeneration, I could reverse it so that within, say, 90 days, you could read 20/20. This guy says, well, I'm an eye doctor. I said, well, I'll tell you what, let's have a wager. Give me 12 of your patients that are legally blind, 6, 8, 10 years. And if I could get 6 of the 12, if I could get half of them to read 20/20, 90 days, will you apologize in public for calling me a liar and buy me a big steak dinner, you know, with a glass of red wine? He says, you got it. Well, the next day he gives me 27 charts of patients that he had diagnosed. There was no magic about the patients because he's picking them. And they're all legally blind, 6, 8, 10 years. And he says, here's 27, pick your 12. I says, well, why don't we just take all 27? He says, you're on. He says, I'll tell you what, I'll make it easy for you, Doc. If you could get one of them, these are people who are really in trouble. They've been legally blind 6, 8, 10 years. It never goes away. If you could get one of them to actually get reversed. Okay, so he gave him the Health Advantage Heart Pack, got rid of all the bad foods, the fried foods, the processed meats, the oils, the gluten. We threw in the Ocutive, and again, the antioxidants, the Z-radical kind of things. And in 90 days, 25 to 27 could read 20/20. In another 2 weeks, the other two could.
That's amazing.
All 27 could read 20/20. They regained their vision after 6 to 8 years of blindness. And this guy was actually viciously against us.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, and so it was a great, great wager. He made this CD called Seeing is Believing, and we're very, very proud of that.
And let's go back to you, Mark, for a quick question for me.
Yes, and by the way, he owes you 27 steak dinners. Anyway, George, you gave the best gift. You gave the gift to yourself to see my hero up there, and you have a great voice, a great tremolo, a great vibrato. I'm telling you, I thoroughly enjoyed the show, and Mr. Carson was impressive, and the guy that I believe was a Christian gentleman at the end really reached my heart. I mean, it was just, it was everything I thought it was, and even it was even more, and I cannot wait for you to come back. And I'm hoping at the same venue, but anywhere in Florida where I can go to it again. Whoever didn't go to that really missed out if you're a fan of this show and of George Norrie's. My question was, if there was any chance I could get something signed, I could not stay for the meet and greet.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, Mark, I'm going to put you on hold, and Tom will get your address. When I get back to Los Angeles in a couple weeks, I'll send you a little something for you. So, Tommy, take care of Mark. Get his address for me. Put it on my desk in L.A., and we'll take care of you, Mark. Yeah, Mark was in attendance, I believe, at our special Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Miramar show, and we had a great time. I'm glad he did, too. We're going to come back. Final hour to go with Doc Wallach. We'll take your calls with him, and again, the toll-free number to call for assistance. If you missed the information, call 1-855-949-7234, and the website is criticalhealthnews.com.